Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 110 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host as always. And today my guest is Amy Mann. Amy is the marketing and communications director for LawPay, well, the premier in my mind, online credit card processing solution for law offices, both solo and small firm, and maybe even a little bit towards the medium size, depending on what your definition is. But I have been a LawPay client for a long time, much longer than I've been doing this podcast, and a very happy LawPay client at that. I use them for both my hourly billing as well as my fixed fee or fixed priced legal matters. So they are capable of handling, you know, different types of billing scenarios. And I think you'll hear from this conversation that it's a lot of worry taking off your plate if you use a firm such as LawPay, which is endorsed by dozens and dozens of state bar associations, including the one of which I am a member, as well as the American Bar Association. So with that kind of endorsement, there's a lot of things that you don't have to worry about that you would otherwise have to do. So if you were to use, you know, a different type of solution. So anyway, without stealing too much of the thunder, let's listen to what Amy Mann has to say. Amy Mann, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, I am delighted that you're here, Amy. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Sure. So my background is in content marketing, specifically on the legal side of things. I worked for a long time in legal web development and content creation, working for a number of legal-specific digital marketing services and agencies, and working really closely with lawyers to help get leads, get clients, promote themselves, and build a digital identity online. And after a few years of working in that space and collaborating with different people in different aspects of the legal field, I came to know of LawPay, which was actually just up the road from my previous place of employment.
Oh, that made it convenient.
I know. Yeah, my commute changed by about 3 minutes. And so a couple years, about 2 years ago, I came to work at LawPay as part of their writing team. And now I am the marketing communications manager and work closely with our LawPay brand manager and our team on that side, really promoting LawPay and helping more people learn about this incredible solution.
That's tremendous. Now, just to inform our audience a little bit, one of the things I like when I interview vendors such as LawPay is I'm particularly sensitive to the criticism, justifiably so at times, that, you know, when you interview a vendor like such as LawPay, it could turn the podcast into, you know, a 30-minute infomercial. But what I particularly like is to interview the vendors that I myself personally use, and LawPay is one of them. I've been a LawPay client for many years. In fact, much longer than the podcast has been in existence. So, but I came across LawPay, I think, at the AVO conference a couple, 3 years or so ago, and it satisfied a problem that I was having, and I became a client then, and have been a very happy and satisfied client ever since. So tell us a little bit about, you know, how LawPay came into existence. What was the problem that LawPay was trying to address?
Absolutely. So LawPay is actually one brand that is underneath a larger payment technology company called AffiniPay, and that was our original payment solution. We worked primarily in the association space, working with associations and nonprofits to help them collect payments for everything related to association membership dues, events, sponsorships, donations in the nonprofit space. And in the course of working with these associations, we developed relationships with a number of bars, both state and local and specialty bars around the country, and developed really close working relationships with these different bars doing their membership payments. And in the course of exploring these relationships and just getting to know people, you know, we'd worked with them for 5-6 years. We kept hearing from our bar partners that they really thought that our payment solution was just so easy, so simple, and kept telling us, you know, our end users are lawyers. And a huge problem that lawyers have is getting paid and getting paid on time and giving their clients an easy way to get paid. But that there was a lot of reticence in the field about taking online credit card payments because of issues surrounding trust accounting compliance. And so they were really hesitant to take advantage of some of the more generic payment solutions that were available to them. And so, you know, they just kind of relayed this pain point to us that, you know, our members would love something like this, but, you know, it's really tough to find something. And so our CEO and our leadership team took it upon themselves and said, you know what, we have great partners who have just come to us and have expressed a pain point that we're actually in a position to do something about. So they worked really closely with those bar partners and their ethics committees, worked really closely with the ABA to really understand where some of the potential risks might lie in online credit card acceptance for attorneys, and built LawPay, which is a solution that makes it so that lawyers really don't have to worry about that. We built our system to ensure trust accounting compliance so that now lawyers can take advantage of all of the convenience and speed that accepting online credit card payments brings, but without having to be nervous about, you know, falling into an ethics violation due to trust accounting rules and regulations.
You know, now that you mentioned that, I have to correct my previous statement. I remember now distinctly when I first came in contact with LawPay, and it was actually at the Maryland State Bar Association conference for solo and small businesses.
Sure, yeah, we're a member benefit with them, so we absolutely go to that show every year.
Yep, absolutely. And it was up in Baltimore near the airport, and I remember going to the booth and being overwhelmed by, you know, the ease to which the product works, but more specifically, just as you said, about if I signed up with a bill paying solution that's endorsed by my bar association and the ABA, I can pretty well rest assured that I'm on good ethical grounds there.
Sure. And that was really important to us. You know, we wanted to make sure that these relationships were so important to us, so we didn't want to, you know, put out anything that wouldn't really just hit every nail right on the head. And so we've, you know, maintained a close relationship with these groups to make sure that we're staying up to speed with what they need in their state and what we need for ABA model rules. And so, yeah, it's been great. And we are so thankful for those partnerships because they've really meant the world to us.
And just to help frame the problem or the means by which the solution addresses the problem for our audience, one of the big ethical considerations, not the only one, but one of the big ethical considerations is the processing fee with respect to billing clients. Can you just touch upon that a little bit?
Sure. So, you know, processing fees are really just, it is the cost to move money in our modern economy. Anybody who pays credit cards or who accepts credit cards in a business, rather, knows that there are baseline credit card fees that have to be implemented for money to get moved between all of the different people who are involved in the process. There's multiple banks included. People are sending, you know, at the second transaction information. And so those fees are really just kind of the modern cost of moving money these days. And so what that turns around to is that a lot of firms are really just looking at that as kind of a modern cost of doing business. A lot of businesses just sort of accept that, yeah, there's a cost to move money in our economy. And, you know, in the past, you had to pay money for things like, let's see, what fun antiquated technologies can I come up with at a moment's notice? You know, a lot of people don't even have printers in their office anymore because everything's being moved electronically.
Well, there was a time when attorneys billed out fax transmission fees.
Exactly. Sure. Sure.
To talk about antiquated technology.
Yeah. And so a lot of people we hear talk about the fact that, yeah, this is just, you know, the payment processing fees that are associated with accepting credit cards is just one of the modern costs of doing business. And honestly, most people that we talk to and that we discuss this with have just said, you know, yeah, I have to pay a percentage on a transaction run, but that is absolutely nothing compared to the value of having cash flow and having money coming in the door, you know, a small percentage rate on money that they maybe wouldn't have otherwise had on hand to pay their overhead, to pay their staff. There's really no comparison there once people have started using it.
Now, does LawPay segregate those transactional costs out such that they're not charged to the client, but rather are addressed by the law firm using the service?
Sure. So what I think you're asking about is surcharging. So when surcharging is a practice that is allowed in some states, it's something that's constantly evolving and changing based on the laws surrounding credit card acceptance. But surcharging is the practice where, you know, if you're a merchant, if you're a lawyer and you are accepting online credit card or just any credit card payments in your practice, you're going to get a processing fee on every, you know, transaction that's run. The process of surcharging allows you to attach a percentage fee to a bill to someone who wants to pay with a credit card so that you then pass that cost on to the client rather than taking it on yourself. In some states, it's not allowed. In some states, it is allowed. And really, at the end of the day, it is a judgment call. If it's allowed in your state and it's allowed by your bar rules, it's a judgment call for the individual attorney to make if they want to pass those fees on to their client or not. Broadly, we generally let people know that most of the time we actually see that people don't choose to do that. Most people, like I said, kind of look at it as credit card processing costs are the cost of doing business in a modern economy, and they are more focused on delivering an exceptional client experience and making the process of getting paid as, you know, transparent and just simple for their clients as possible. And so they actually choose to not pass those fees on. But there are some states in which doing so is allowed.
And I know, like, for instance, in my practice, if I have a client who's making a $2,000 payment into their trust account, I see the $2,000 go into their trust account.
Exactly.
And the fee for that, for using the LawPay to make that payment, I see then over being applied as a debit to my operations account.
Exactly. So that's part of the compliance measures that we keep in place. We're really, really conscious of what a trust account violation means for an attorney.
Thankfully so.
Yeah. And so we make sure it's actually part of our terms and conditions that your trust account is going to be protected against any third party debiting for any reason. So we're not going to take money out of there. We're not going to let anybody else take money out of there. We're going to make sure that, like you said, if you run a charge for $2,000, you get $2,000 in full deposited into that account. And that is something that, you know, in other industries or with other payment processors, a lot of them, they'll take their fees out, deposit the net amount, and that causes a huge problem. So we deposit the amount in full, and we'll actually wait until the beginning of the following month to debit any processing fees out of your operating account, just so, you know, that makes it better both in terms of, you know, reporting and reconciliation. You can actually balance your books a little easier that way, and it's ensuring compliance that we're never taking money out of those unearned fees.
Well, I know my bookkeeper applauds that process because it makes life simpler for them. Because the trust account is a dollar for dollar, penny for penny correlation to what the client has paid.
Good. I'm glad that was part of our goal too, is, you know, making anybody who's in business and who has done this has experienced the headache of reconciling accounts that aren't really matching up to the billable amount that was either on the invoice or that was sent through with a trust account replenishment request. And so, you know, not only do we want to make things simple for your end clients, but we want to make it easy to you to, you know, balance your books and run your business. So that's definitely something we did intentionally.
Well, it absolutely works that way because having chosen LawPay as my payment processor, I can just, you know, like I said, turn it on and forget about it. I really don't have to give compliance, at least from that perspective, one iota more of thought. And it's a great relief off my mind because, as you know, that's the quickest way to get in trouble with the Bar Association is to be non-compliant with respect to the client's money.
For sure.
So accepting that as a given, then what are the various ways that we as attorneys can use a LawPay solution to address online payment?
Great question. I love to think of our solution as being something that's simple but also robust. I think you mentioned earlier, it's pretty intuitive. It's very easy to use, and it's something we hear a lot, but it's actually very flexible as well, so that you can really make the solution work to fit your needs. So one of the most common ways that people actually use our solution to get paid is through our secure payment pages. We will, for any new client that we take on, we will create customized payment pages that have that law firm's information on it, their logo on it, any specific information that they want to include, messages to their clients, and we'll give them a link to that secure payment page. It's securely hosted on our servers so that the attorney doesn't have to worry about, you know, protecting any sensitive information. We handle all of that. And it operates just like a link that you can attach to anything. So we'll see people connect it to the navigation on their website with a, you know, pay attorney button. We'll see people connect it to their email signatures or embed it in email text itself saying, hey, just wanted to let you know you have this balance due. You can click right here to pay it and it'll go straight to that page. A lot of people also just attach it to their invoices. So when they send out electronic invoices, there's a pay now link right there ready to go so that people can pay it the minute they get that bill, the minute they're thinking about it, and really increase the speed at which the attorney gets paid.
That's exactly how I use it. The simplest approach for me was the easiest. And I use, just as you said, I use that link in all those forms, on my emails, on my invoices, mm-hmm. on my webpage. So it's, and knowing that the processing part of it and the form is hosted on LawPay's secure servers, again, just takes that burden off my mind so that I don't have to worry about the privacy and security of the client's information.
For sure. And that's something, you know, we always say, we don't expect attorneys are already experts in so many things. You don't have to add cybersecurity expert on top of that. We got that covered. We'll take that one on for the team.
So the secure payment pages and the link to them, that's one approach. What's another way?
We also have a scheduled payments feature or a recurring billing feature that's very popular. This is something that's included with LawPay at no extra charge, and it's a way for you to schedule transactions in advance, especially if you're going to run, you know, if you have somebody who you want to set up a custom payment plan with them so that, you know, maybe they pay you $100 or $500 at the beginning of every single month, you can put their credit card information into our system. We will save that in our secure vault online. Again, we'll protect all that data. And you can create a custom payment plan that will charge that card at regular intervals that you and your client agree upon. So you can either set it to run automatically for an extended period of time with an end date that you set, or you could say, you know, we want to charge $100 every month until the total amount charged reaches this amount, and then it will automatically shut off. So we see that a lot, and attorneys really respond well to that because it takes one more thing out of the equation. It's one less thing that they have to do during their day. It's also an easier payment experience for their clients because it's one less step of friction that both parties have to go through to make that transaction work.
I know this worked for a lot of family law lawyer friends of mine. Mm-hmm. Who are using LawPay, and they actually credited it. Now, I've never used it, even though I do quite a bit of family law, not as much as I used to, but I've never used that feature, but I know plenty of folks who have, and they've actually said that ability to implement a payment plan for their family law clients was the difference between getting that client and not getting the client, which I find is astonishing because we seldom as attorneys think that the choice of whether a potential client engages us or not depends on the mechanism that we use for mm-hmm. payment processing. But no, very much is the case in some ways.
It really is in a number of ways. A lot of it is just preference. You know, we've seen that, you know, something in it's really surprising that, you know, the vast majority of people just don't have checkbooks or don't carry checkbooks anymore.
Not anymore.
And a lot of people, you know, they explicitly state, I believe Clio in their legal trends report found something that 28% of potential clients look for a lawyer who will accept credit card payments. And I think it's multifaceted. I think that some of these people are doing it because this is just how people are used to paying. You know, people want that experience. They want to be able to make it frictionless. But the other reality is that there are a lot of people who, you know, they might not know that they're going to need a lawyer until they really need a lawyer. And, you know, the being able to facilitate credit card payments and especially payment plans like this just makes that so much more feasible and makes it a lot, it opens the doors and really opens that opportunity up to a lot more people who maybe didn't, you know they were going to have to hire an attorney and suddenly need a way to pay for that.
Well, and I especially think that's true, in, again, in terms of family law, but it applies in other practice areas as well. Mm-hmm. When you can put the client or the client can, you know, indicate their preference to be put on a payment plan so that they know, look, I'm going to be paying the same amount of money per month. I can budget it.
Exactly.
It's an amount that I can afford. And it actually, it makes it easier for them to engage the attorney because they know they're not going to have these peaks and valleys of, you know, a lot of money this month and no money next month.
Exactly. Exactly. It makes it very predictable.
That? Yeah. And from the attorney's perspective as well, it evens out your cash flow.
Exactly.
Your monthly cash flow, and you're now able to budget your internal operations a little better, knowing that you have a cash flow, even after sometimes after the matter has concluded, but the client hasn't caught up with their final bill, you know that on a monthly basis you're going to get that regular payment, and you don't even have to think about it. And you don't have to you don't have to turn it off when they reach the number. I mean, it's just really an elegant solution for a lot of problems.
We see it really working, and again, for both the attorney and for their client. And that's the real goal of, you know, of a great solution is something that really is going to benefit everybody. And so that we've really seen that work. Great for the attorney, great for their clients. It's a win-win. And so that's definitely something that a lot of people take advantage of.
And
we're really glad.
Aside from that, as a solo or small firm practitioner, you know, all the time that you can save not worrying about collecting, you know, payments owed to you, it's time that you can devote to building your practice.
Exactly.
And that's the difference between staying in business and not staying in business. So,
exactly. You know,
aside from trying to figure out how to get paid, it really is helping us to decide or to figure out how we're going to stay in business.
Mm-hmm. No, it's absolutely true. And, you know, like you mentioned, being able to have, you know, it's that having that dependable cash flow that you can really use to build upon. And then also just having more time in your day to, like you said, to build that business and to, you know, be able to actually work billable hours or communicate with your clients and really serve your clients and be there for their needs rather than, you know, sitting at your desk and generating and sending bills or chasing after unpaid invoices. It really frees up a lot of time in your day to do the thing that you want to do to really practice law.
This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Daylight. Daylight is the Mac CRM and case management tool I've been using for years to manage my practice. If you're feeling swamped trying to keep track of cases and clients, but you don't want to pay the hefty price tag of something like Salesforce or other legal-specific tools, I recommend you give Daylight a look. Daylight helps me prioritize my day. It helps me keep track of my clients, cases, documents, emails, calendars, to-dos, and reminders, all in one place. The case management part of Daylight makes it really easy to organize all the details and work for each case so things are done on time. The best part of Daylight is that it lets you work offline. You don't need an internet connection to pull up case details or info about a client like with other CRMs and case management tools. And new in Daylight is their Zapier integration, so you can automate things like pulling new leads from a contact form on your website right into Daylight. And for techies like me, you know that integration with tools like Zapier is really fundamental to making something like Daylight work the way you want it to work. So to learn how Daylight can help you grow your practice, visit marketcircle.com/daylight. And be sure to let them know you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount on your first month subscription. That's Daylight by Market Circle. The legal environment is more competitive than ever, and small law firms are feeling the pinch. With over 1.3 million attorneys in the United States and counting, it can be hard to stand out from the crowd. And that's why Spotlight Branding helps lawyers become unforgettable. Spotlight Branding is a different kind of internet marketing company. They don't put their clients on the SEO hamster wheel, and they don't ask them to burn thousands of dollars on speculative pay-per-click advertising. Instead, they're focused on the fundamentals of legal marketing that have worked for dozens upon dozens of years. They use the internet to build a premium brand for solo and small firm lawyers like myself, and they put systems in place to create top-of-mind awareness, allowing their clients to maximize the referrals and repeat business. It's the smart way to grow your law firm. To get more information, visit spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in the law entrepreneur, and receive a special gift from our friends there at Spotlight Branding. And if you plan on attending the AVO Lawyernomics Conference in Las Vegas later this month, as I am planning to do so, stop by their booth, the Spotlight Branding booth. Mention our podcast, and you'll receive a special gift there as well. So thanks again to our friends at spotlightbranding.com for sponsoring this episode of The Law Entrepreneur. Well, the big elephant in the room also here is mobile. You know, the entire world is going mobile, or has already gone mobile. Like, I don't know of anybody who doesn't have a mobile platform, and it doesn't matter where you go, people have their mobile device tethered to their hand. So does LawPay have a mobile solution as well?
We do. So we have, you know, our site and our platform is responsive, so you could use LawPay on your mobile device just through the website the same way you use it on your computer.
Okay.
We also do have a mobile app that you can download. And so we have a mobile app and a dedicated mobile card swiper that goes with it. So if you think, you know, those little swipers that you can just plug into the headphone jack of your phone. We have one of those too, so that, you know, a lot of times we've heard people tell us anecdotally, you know, if they're running back and forth between their office and the court, and a bunch of times they'll run into people who are literally able to make payments on the go and wanting to make payments on the go. And you don't have to be tied to your desk. You don't have to be sitting at, you know, a terminal or anything to get paid when you want to get paid. If you have the opportunity to meet your client somewhere else, maybe, you know, if they need you to go to their house, or if you need to meet them at the courthouse or anywhere in between, we try to facilitate that and make it as easy as possible. So you can either, like I said, log in through our secure system on a tablet or mobile device, or you can use the app itself to take payments and to look and see what's going on in your back end. So trying to really meet the needs of lawyers wherever they are.
I know one of my criminal defense attorney friends who very often is literally getting paid on the steps of the courthouse as they go in, uses the mobile application with a card swiper.
Yeah, we hear that all the time, because you never want to not have that opportunity to, you know, do business in the way that makes the most sense for you and that makes the most sense for your clients. And people are used to paying these ways. They do it. And so being able to afford your client every convenience is just, you know, part of delivering excellent customer service. And we see it as part of our duty to facilitate that.
Now, the big trend that we see with a lot of vendor products is integration. Some of the case management platforms, you are really making great strides in integration tools to be able to link together other products with their platform to make them more robust, as well as some of the accounting packages that are coming online that are doing the same thing. Talk to me a little bit about the integration opportunities that one has using LawPay.
Definitely. And that was something, you know, earlier when you asked about the different, you know, options that you have with LawPay, I think that's one of our biggest appeals, is that we integrate with some of the biggest names in legal practice management and legal billing and timekeeping software that's out there. We actually we're partnered with over 30 different tools and solutions out there just to try to help make everything as easy as possible for lawyers. And so if you're already using a practice management solution or a time and invoicing software, if you can attach the payment experience seamlessly into that, you're not having to navigate between multiple platforms. You're not having to worry about recording things in multiple places or import spreadsheets from one location to another. Everything takes care of itself within the solution that you're already using. And so for us, our partnerships are just invaluable to us. And we really value those opportunities to work with some of the leaders in the legal technology space. And so, you know, some of the, I almost hesitate to start naming them because I feel like I'd have to name everybody just out of fairness. But yeah, like we were just at ABA Tech Show and it was so fun to see all of our different partners there. We partner with Clio and Practice Panther and Centerbase and Cosmolex and Leap and Zola, Trustbooks and a number of others, just to name a few, TimeSolve. And so again, just trying to make the experience as easy as possible on the lawyer. If you're already using one of these practice management softwares to, you know, record your time, to generate invoices, to communicate with your clients, you know, why not put payments in there too, so that that whole process on the lawyer is as easy as possible, and on the their end client, we want that to be as easy as possible as well.
Yeah, and it's a seamless extension. You really can't tell whether you're in the practice management software mm-hmm. portion of it versus the online payment process, which is really very helpful to both client and attorney. So given that, I mean, to me, there was no impediment to choosing LawPay as a vendor for my practice. What are some of the challenges, though, that you hear from prospective users that they throw up as to, well, I'm not sure I can use LawPay because of X. Mm-hmm. What are some of the roadblocks that they're experiencing?
Sure. You know, honestly, a lot of the people that we hear that still don't want to accept credit card payments, I think it's not really LawPay or another thing. It's just that they don't really accept credit card payments in their practice.
Really?
And it's a pretty surprising number. I think something like just over 60% of attorneys accept credit cards in any form in their practice. There's still a huge number of people that are exclusively relying on, you know, cash and check payments. And so a lot of times it's just sort of a mentality of, you
mindset.
Know, people have,
yeah,
they've never accepted credit cards in their practice. And so they don't really, you know, see a huge need to start doing it at that given time. Or, you know, we get a lot of people who are just, it really doesn't cross their mind until their clients are usually the ones that really start asking for it. A lot, like I said, people today are really used to that experience. They want to pay for even professional services on a credit card. So a lot of times when people do finally come to us, they say, you know, I resisted for a long time. I didn't think it was a thing I had to do, but more and more people have been asking me for it. And I want to let my, you know, clients pay the way they want. So, okay, I'm going to do it.
I guess my viewpoint would be if they didn't use credit cards and didn't use email, and you know, I'd really wonder, you know, how competent they are. That's just me personally. It seems to me to be a no-brainer.
Yeah, and it's, you know, you see a lot that I think people, the real headache there is that, you know, 59% of law firms are dealing regularly with late payments, which affects their cash flow yeah. in a very real way. And so, you know, for older, more, or, you know, older practices or practices that are a little bit more established, they maybe don't have the same cash flow pain points that newer ventures do. But especially for those newer ventures, that's where we see a lot of traction of people who are like, you know, if you, you know, are either just out of law school and hanging your shingle, or you leave a larger practice to go out on your own, that day-to-day cash flow is a huge, huge, huge difference. And so
it's make it or break it time.
Exactly. And the ability to keep that coming through so that you can maintain your operations is a huge difference. So that's really where we see a lot of people making the switch.
Is there a particular practice area or firm type that is more suited to using LawPay, or is there, conversely, is there one that's less suited?
I think a lot of firms can really benefit from our solution. The few that we don't have a ton of traction with are people who are really exclusively in the personal injury or kind of tort sphere, where a lot of their payments aren't really coming from a client. They're coming as a percentage of a settlement fee. But in any practice where, you know, attorneys and their clients are exchanging money for, you know, invoiced work or for services and goods delivered, we really see a lot of traction there. So,
and it doesn't matter whether or not that client is paying on an hourly basis or paying on a fixed fee basis.
No, it doesn't. So, and we work with attorneys who charge in both models. So right. It's really just more kind of the overall structure of the practice area that is the difference. But we have a lot of folks, you mentioned family law is huge, criminal, bankruptcy, immigration. These are all really common areas of practice that we see.
Yeah. And interesting, those are common areas for many a solo and small firm practitioner as well.
Definitely.
Amy, listen, this has been delightful. I am so pleased that you were able to take the time to be with us today. Tell our audience a little bit about how they may reach out to you if they want to follow up on anything you had to offer.
Absolutely. You can always email me. I live on email and have a fun little email address. I'm aman, at lawpay.com. So if you shoot an email to aman@lawpay.com, I will get it, and I would be happy to respond to any questions you might have.
A man with two N's. At lawpay.com. Well, thanks again for being on The Law Entrepreneur, and I wish everybody there at LawPay the best.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for having us.
Once again, I'd like to thank our friends at Market Circle, the makers of Daylight and Spotlight Branding, for being sponsors of today's podcast. Market Circles, as the makers of Daylight, provide the tool that I use to manage my cases, my clients, my calendar, my to-dos, the emails, and they do so all in one app that stays with me on my Mac, my iPhone, and my iPad. I use Daylight on my own in a solo environment, but you can also use it in a team. You can use Daylight to track the status of cases and delegate tasks to one another on your team, and you can see everyone's schedule all without having to interrupt anyone. Daylight is one of the tools that I use to stay organized, and it increases my efficiency, and therefore it only stands to reason that it'll do the same for you and your team if you use it in a broader environment. So visit marketcircle.com/daylight to try Daylight free for 30 days. And be sure to let them know that you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur in order to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. Also, our friends at Spotlight Branding, as always, have been very helpful in sponsoring this podcast. You know, I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to help keep me top of mind with my referral network. So visit www.spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur. So spotlightbranding.com/TLE to access your free gift. And as always, make sure that you visit our website, www.thelawentrepreneur.com, to see everything that's going on with the podcast and subscribe to our newsletter so that you can stay in the know and be the first on your block, so to speak, to gain insight into what's going on here. So once again, thanks for being here this time around. I appreciate your listenership. Hope to see you again next week on The Law Entrepreneur.